This is an uprising against smug elites. Smug elites. So they're the villains, and the opposite is America. Because America is now one big gay disco.
Yes, yes, I
am. That's not evil? Being hostile to all mankind and subversive is not evil?
Well, I have to say that because St. Paul said the Jews are enemies of the entire human race. They are.
What do you think of Jordan Peterson?
Did you see the video about where he said I can't do it?
Adam, I'm trying to do you a favor.
You're fighting for the gay disco.
Don't make your ignorance normative for the rest of us.
Don't use those kinds of slurs.
You're fighting for the gay disco.
What? There are no slurs here.
Die for the gay disco. This is an uprising against smug elites. Smug elites. So they're the villains, and the opposite is America. America is now
definitely our most requested guest, Dr. E. Michael Jones, a man who needs no introduction.
I mean, it is. That's what they pay the Rockefeller Foundation to do.
Now, you're not supposed to know what I just told you.
They didn't know about this. They didn't know what we know now.
Is there any argument you can use to wake them up?
Yeah, I think God had a plan for your life.
Well, you'd be jerking on every curvy piece of driftwood you saw at the beach.
Don't like disco. Maybe you would.
And you're consistently refusing to talk about pornography.
Pete Buttigieg seems to be the exhibit A of that process.
Yes, yes.
Because you think that the anus is a sex organ, don't you, Pete?
Richard Spencer hands out spears and he says, charge the machine gun nest.
Dr. Jones. Sorry.
Not all of the heads of the Federal Reserve were Jews, but after a certain period of time, that seemed to be the case.
Hello, welcome to another episode of EMJ Live. It's a rainy Friday afternoon in South Bend, Indiana, and the world is falling apart on college campuses across the country. Protests against Palestinian, the genocide in Palestine. Students are coming out in unprecedented numbers in a way that has reminded me of my own situation. When I was in college, I graduated from college in 1970, the entire graduation period was disrupted by the fact that the United States had invaded Cambodia, and protests broke out on campuses across the country. My wife, I was married for a year at that point, but we were still in college. My wife and I went to her college and walked down the hallway trying to get people to leave their classrooms to join the protest. I then joined in a protest that marched downtown to downtown Philadelphia. During the middle of that protest, as we walked through Belmont Plateau, a group of communist revolutionaries ran out of the bushes, unfurled a Viet Cong flag, and ran to the front of the parade. How do I know they were communist revolutionaries? Well, because they lived across the hall from me in the apartment building where we lived. They had gone to Cuba as part of the Venza Ramos Brigade, and they were part of the Communist Party. So I know whereof I speak. When we got downtown, Mohammed Kenyatta, a big Philadelphia shakedown artist who went on to become a professor at Harvard, whose son called me once and objected to the term. I used it because he shook down the Quakers and other religious groups for $250,000 because as reparations payment. Anyway, he got down there and gave a speech which began by saying, "Fuck peace." And that naturally cooled everyone's ardor. But anyway, the big event at that moment was Kent State. The governor of Ohio called the National Guard into Kent State. They showed up with armed with M1 rifles. These were the standard issue during World War I. They fired, the clip wasn't big, but that bullet went straight for about a mile. Long-range rifles, and they fired into the crowd, and they killed four students. This led to a huge reaction. The pictures are still available. Neil Young wrote a song about it. And eventually it led to the end of the draft. So it succeeded, the establishment succeeded in undoing itself by its disproportionate reaction to what was a legitimate protest. It looks as if the establishment, it looks as if our rulers are determined to do the same thing now with regard to the protest on Gaza. These are all across the country, but one of the most flagrant examples of what I'm talking about happened at the University of Texas at Austin, where their illustrious governor, Abbott, called in the National Guard. Now, they aren't armed with M1s anymore, but they did do everything they could to basically brutalize what was a peaceful protest. There is no evidence that there was anything but a peaceful protest going on there. Why they had to use the disproportionate force was a mystery until the governor himself explained it. And he said, do we have that that clip? What's it say there? Cut to the chase, anti-Semitism will not be tolerated in Texas, period. Wait a minute. You're calling in the National Guard because someone said something that Jews didn't like? I know this comes as a shock to many people, but anti-Semitism is not a crime. It's an opinion. And the second point here is, the protest against genocide in Gaza is not anti-Semitism. Even if it were anti-Semitism, the governor has no right to call in the National Guard to deal with it. This is the result of the gradual encroachment of Jewish power over our entire culture, but most specifically over the political class. Now, we all know who's responsible for this. It's primarily IPAC. It's the Israel lobby. It's the Jews spending money on candidates. All of these candidates, all of these officials are on the take. They're getting money from Jews, which is bad enough. But if they don't go along, then the Jews will fund another candidate who will basically outspend them and run them out of office. This is the fundamental fact of political life. I've been saying it for years now. And sooner or later, we are going to have the political process deal with this. We are helpless when it comes to the Jewish political power. We are completely helpless. Last week, I did a show on these groups, Alan Dershowitz, what he wants to do. There's a group called Stop Anti-Semitism, also active at these protests at places like Harvard. If they don't like what you say, they will ruin your life. And so the story in the Washington Post, a kind of praising these people and how effective they are, of basically ruining the lives of one student who was a Palestinian and other students as well, simply because the Jew doesn't like what you say. This is tyranny. There's no other word for it. Okay? How did this tyranny come about? Let's take the absolute best example that I can give here of an absolutely corrupt an idiotic political class. And I'm talking about Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, who just recently was compared to Winston Churchill. I think that was supposed to be positive. for passing a $60 or $90 billion spending bill that is only going to prolong the war, a losing war in the Ukraine, pay off the big military contractors for weapons they've already sent, and cause the death of more people in vain. Okay, now that's a man who has a lot of responsibility on his shoulders, but when he heard that there was a protest at Columbia University, okay, this guy from Louisiana hops on a plane and flies out to New York and gives a speech. Let's roll the speech.
Denied the horrific facts of September 11, 2001, the attacks on the United States that happened right here in New York City, and they've attempted to excuse or to ignore the barbaric attack of Hamas in Israel on October 7th, 2023. Where Israeli women and children were savagely raped and murdered, and infants were cooked in ovens.
Okay.
Crowds are.
Did you hear that? Infants were cooked in ovens. Where did he get? Wait a minute, Mike. Let me pretend to be your PR guy here, Mike. Stop. Look, it's the 40 Israeli babies. We're decapitated by Hamas. That's the story. Stay on the narrative here. The oven story is Auschwitz. That's not there are no ovens cooking infants in Gaza. This is one of the most preposterous things I have ever heard out of the mouth of an elected official in the United States of America. Never have I heard something this preposterous. It's a preposterous conflation of two Israeli propaganda narratives. Okay? Combined, going back to the Hill and Knowlton narrative about babies being thrown out of incubators on the floor, going back to the First World War, where the German soldiers marched into Belgium and threw up babies and caught them on bayonets. This is preposterous. This shows you how hysterical this is, but it also shows you how does it happen? How is this possible? It's the Holocaust narrative. Guess what? The Holocaust narrative is now being rolled out to destroy the last vestiges of free speech in the United States of America. It's that simple. If you had any doubts about this, you should listen to Benjamin Netanyahu, who it turns out is the real president of the United States. Here's what Benjamin Netanyahu had to say.
What's happening on America's college campuses is horrific. Anti-Semitic mobs have taken over leading universities. They call for the annihilation of Israel. They attack Jewish students. They attack Jewish faculty. This is reminiscent of what happened in German universities in the 1930s. The response of several university presidents was shameful.
Now, Wait, stop.
State.
Wait a minute. The response of university presidents was shameful? Is Bibi talking about Harvard? Do we remember what happened at Harvard? There was a lady, a black lady by the name of Claudine Gay, who thought that her job was to guarantee free speech at Harvard until the big Jewish donors showed up and they threatened her because they didn't like any criticism of Israel or Jews being tolerated on Harvard's campus. Now, this is the same campus where Palestinian students were being doxxed, where they had trucks, the Jews had trucks driving around the campus with pictures of people telling people to harass them. This is not new, okay? When my son was at Harvard, he had the same thing done to him. Beginning of the 90s, he graduated in 1992, for publishing an article on homosexuality in a campus publication. It's gotten worse. It's gotten worse because Jewish control over Harvard has gotten more and more tyrannical. It's the only word that you can describe that describes what's going on here. Okay, so now Netanyahu, who is, I think, the head of a foreign country, is now telling the United States what it has to do. Because if it doesn't, then serious consequences will follow. And so at this point, as you already saw, he invoked the Holocaust narrative. That's why I wrote a book on it. It's called The Holocaust Narrative, and it is used to justify the complete destruction of whatever freedoms we have in the United States of America. Now, it, as I said, it's been going on for a while. Okay, there anybody who dared to say something Jews didn't like had to pay a price. I know about that. But what changed? What changed is the enormous number of people throughout the world who are now outraged at Jewish behavior. They are outraged at what the Israelis have done in Gaza, and they're outraged at the way now American citizens are being treated. They are being treated by these cops. It's a story. I didn't follow it up. I saw the headline. But what we're talking about is the Israelicization of American police forces. That's an old story. The Jews will come in and give you the police chief and this policeman all expenses paid trip to Israel, where the Israelis can teach them how to treat the people of their cities, the cities that they are paid to protect, those people that people are paid to protect, how to treat them like Palestinians. Well, they've upped the ante because now if you're a Palestinian, you have no right to live. You have no right to your own land. You have no right to anything because you don't have the right to life. Now, again, where are the defenders of free speech? Where are they? Matt Walsh, to his credit, he's on the Daily Wire, said that anti-Semitism isn't a crime. Maybe his days are numbered now. Maybe that's something that gets you fired at the Daily Wire. We'll find out sooner or later. But Ben Shapiro is determined to follow his mania, his Zionist mania, to its logical conclusion, which is the self-destruction of his own operation. This is what he's been doing since the beginning. He lost all self-control. He claimed to be a conservative. As soon as any Israel is involved, all sense of principle goes to the winds. He gets hysterical, and he justifies behavior that is criminal, behavior that is not compatible with civilization. And at that point, you just blew up your own operation, okay? The operation known as conservatism. There is only one basis for conservatism, and that is what they were calling Judeo-Christian morality. Judeo-Christian morality doesn't exist anymore. It ceased to exist when Roe versus Wade got overturned, and the Jews announced that abortion was a fundamental Jewish value. All of these things have dramatically changed the political landscape in America, and no one is capable of addressing it. There is one exception that I've heard of, and that is that Pastor Rick Wiles has announced that he's going to run in what I believe is the primary in his district in Florida against Brian Mast. Brian Mast, if you don't know, is the man who shows up in Congress of the United States of America wearing an Israeli army uniform. This should be a no-brainer. Are you going to vote for the Israeli, the guy in the Israeli uniform, and put him in the American Congress? If he's so interested in wearing an IDF uniform, why doesn't he go to Israel? Why doesn't he go over there and put his life on the line? Because that's the country he's really defending. I keep saying this, okay? Thank God that Rick Wiles is doing this, because it looks as if it's going to be the first time that American voters are going to have a choice. Are they going to vote for the guy in the Israeli uniform, who claims to be a U.S. congressman, or are they going to vote for the guy who says America first? The American people need their own representation. No one, No one is standing up to defend the American people. I mean, of the political class. No one. No one. At the other extreme, you have Mike Johnson saying that they're roasting babies in ovens. Completely preposterous nonsense based on the Holocaust narrative, which has been used to justify the creation of the state of Israel and is now being used to justify the complete suppression of all freedom of speech in America. Something's got to give here. Okay. Something's got to give. I have here, I'm going to read this letter. We get responses to the podcast. This is a response to the Jewish Lawfare article. I'm sorry, the podcast that we did last week. He says, a while back, my dear friend Benita Stallings introduced me to your work, and I've greatly appreciated your insights and commentary through your Culture Wars podcast. If it were not for my poverty brought about by the feminist divorce machine, where my wife is extorting me for $1,055 a month in unallocated support to finance her abuse, adultery, and robbing me of my daughter, my only child, I would without hesitation buy many of your books. After listening to the first part of your podcast on Jewish Lawfare, I was motivated to reach out to you, seeing the similarities with your commentary on Jews trying to destroy your life if you disagree with them, and the feminists in the court system who destroy those who hold traditional marriage and family values, such as myself. Also, my experience proves your deduction that the hidden grammar of Protestantism is Satanism. I am a recent convert to the Catholic Church, confirmed Palm Sunday 2022, and were it not for the true faith, I would probably be far worse off, if not dead, because of this horrific abuse. Most recently, I had the long-awaited custody trial with a homosexual judge and a feminist psychologist who rubber-stamped my wife's desire to eliminate me from my daughter's life because I told her the truth that her mother was committing adultery, and if she doesn't repent, she will go to hell. Meanwhile, they believe it is okay to indoctrinate her that adultery isn't adultery, that my daughter's new family will consist of the paramour and his son, in addition to her mother, and that her father did something bad by telling her the truth. In their eyes, truth-telling is disparagement, so if their mother was a murderer, I could not say so according to their logic, if you can call it that. Now, this letter goes on, and I can get back to it in another podcast, but we're talking about the complete corruption of our legal system. We've already talked about it. Now we're talking about a particular angle of corruption, namely the family courts, and how feminism and, in this instance, homosexuality, as part of affirmative action, have wrecked the courts and have weaponized them and turned them into basically divorce machines where the lawyers get rich and the fathers turn into indentured servants to pay for this abuse. This is something we could deal with further in another podcast. If this resonates with you and you'd like to make contact with this man, you can send me an email at jones@culturewars.com. But at this point, I want to finish up with what I'm saying and get to the comments. So again, if you want to contact me, it's jones@culturewars.com. All right, that's my rant. Let's hear what you have to say.
Okay, hello, everybody. This is the voice of Mike Bajakis, Dr. Jones' assistant here on these podcasts. This is the call-in section of the show. Our call-ins are made via our Telegram or our Twitter channel. It's the third time we're doing Twitter here. At EMichaelJones1. Telegram is our backup. If you request to speak, I'll call on you, and don't forget to unmute yourself. And then later in the stream, we're going to read off text questions from the chat. Make sure to keep questions on subject. Try to keep to one question at a time and be respectful of everyone's time here. Okay, time to pop over to Twitter. And Andrew Hovall, you're going to be the first one. Go ahead, Andrew. Are you there? Hello, Andrew.
Hello. Can you hear me?
I can.
Good day, sir. I'm noticing it seems that our law enforcement failed us during BLM, failed us during COVID, failed us during J6, and now they're failing us during these innocent Palestinian protests with going as far as putting or positioning snipers on college buildings. And then today I asked Grok, that's that little AI thing that X has, and I said, was anti-Semitism ever punishable by death throughout history? And Grok said, yes, anti-Semitism has been punishable by death at various points in history. For example, in the Soviet Union under Joseph Stalin, anti-Semitism was considered a crime punishable by death. This was part of a broader effort to suppress dissent and control various aspects of Soviet society. Stalin himself imposed a death penalty for anti-Semitism on January 12, 1931. And this was also imposed, it looks like, on July 26, 1918 in the Soviet Union. So my question is, how long do you think it will be before it gets to this point in America?
If you want my honest opinion, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. What my paradigm here is Kent State. When they went too far, the tide turned in the opposite direction. The protest against, when some people got murdered in the protest against the Vietnam War, that ended the draft. Now, we're farther down the road, but I think the same rules apply. This is not going to succeed. It's not going to succeed. What they've done, it would have been better if you just focus on a few people. This is what Jonathan Greenblatt should have done. But Jonathan Greenblatt is really in the business of creating anti-Semitism. He loves anti-Semitism because he can then write a letter to his Jewish supporters and scare them. IPAC does it the same thing, scare them into contributing money or into donating whatever it is and giving wind in his sails. That's exactly what's going on here. He wants to create anti-Semitism. They're creating a reaction now that is uniting the entire world. The entire world is getting on board. And this manifestation here in the United States is showing up on campuses. Now, let's just be clear about what Governor Abbott did when he mentioned anti-Semitism. He turned a protest against Gaza into an uprising against Jewish power. Be careful what you say. He was the one who brought it up. No one else brought it up. He brought it up. As soon as he brought it up, he made the mistake of now showing that he should not have called in the National Guard, because that's not a reason to call in the National Guard. And there's no evidence that it was happening to begin with. This was his hysterical reaction. He overplayed his hand. He's afraid of his Jewish backers for some reason or other. I don't know what's in their dossier on him. But he overplayed his hand, and now he created the exact opposite of what he intended. This is the way God works in human history. Hegel called it the cunning of reason. I think it's happening now.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Let's go to Sir Ludwig. Go ahead, Sir Ludwig.
I just came up. E. Michael Jones, you know, I've always been I've always appreciated your work and your insight. And you had done an interview on Miss Duchess's broadcast, and I'm not even religious, but when you spoke on the religious aspect, I thought it was very powerful. And, you know, I just wish there was more religious people such as yourself to really reach out and mentor the youth and the new believers in your faith. I think you would do a remarkable job mentoring a healthy perception on your belief system.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, first of all, there seems to be somebody out there, because a lot of people are converting to Catholicism now for some reason or other. Candace Owen being one of them. I've seen articles talking about What's the other guy with the beard? I forget his name. In English, the English guy. Anyway, he's praying the rosary now on TV. So there's a lot of conversion out here. Yeah, Russell Brandt. Yeah. So it seems to be happening. But to be honest with you, I agree with you. I wish there were more people out there who were speaking out on what is obviously contrary to the Catholic faith, but they're not. They're not. And the Catholic press is the worst in this regard. Some of these Catholic groups, there's an upcoming conference on canceled priests in Chicago. My good friend Janet Smith is going to be there. That's the lady who threw me under the bus with Patrick Coffin. But anyway, the motto of this thing is that the explanation for this is that evidence shows that Freemasonic subversion has taken over the Catholic Church. Well, that's preposterous. That's crazy. This is a classic example of God. John Henry Weston is going to be there, by the way. Maybe he's going to come up with the proof of this instead of this phony ass passive voice evidence shows claim. But I'm sorry, fellas, this is preposterous. And all you do when you do this type of thing is reveal yourself as intellectual cowards who can't say the word Jew, because everybody knows this is the fundamental crisis that we're facing here. So, you know, to my fellow Catholics who think that the Freemasons are running everything, I just a question. Name one. Name one, okay? Name, I'll name 10 Jews to one Freemason. Just name one. Just come up with one, okay? But what you're seeing here is that these people are missing the great opportunity of our age, of our era, of our time, which is to stand up to Jewish power. That is the fundamental issue. Years from now, they're going to look back and they're going to say, did you, granddad, did you do that? Where did you stand when the Israelis were killing babies in Gaza? Did you say it was the Freemasons who were behind it? Or did you really address the issue? This is the fundamental issue of our age, and I wish there were more Catholics joining in and taking a stand on it. Thank you.
I'm going to tip out, but thank you. And like I said, Bob, I really appreciate your work. I hope you continue with your endeavors.
Thank you.
And I wish you the best.
Thank you.
All right, let's go to, let's see. Prescient Thomas, Milcaret, go ahead if you're there.
Hey, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Jones. Again, thank you for your work, your excellent sharing of your knowledge, your wisdom, and the history that you know. It's badly needed.
Thank you.
You know, I saw one of these incidents of the police. I can't remember if it was in Austin, Texas, or where it was, but there were two or three police had some guy on the ground and they were brutalizing him. And then this thin, frail woman came up and attempted to say, stop, you know, stop brutalizing this guy. And some giant police officer, twice her size and weight, brutally grabbed her, drug her brutally across a sidewalk, and then threw her to the ground in the most brutal manner. I heard her say that her head hit the pavement. And then another police officer proceeded to knee her mid-body. They flipped her over and handcuffed her and dragged her off. I have to say, even though I'm 73 years old, if I were there, I would probably be in jail right now because I would have interfered physically with what they did to this woman. And then my additional point is, over the years, I've seen that U.S. police chiefs and police officers were taken to Israel to be trained. And this is the brutality that they were probably trained in. And it is absolutely abhorrent that this is going on in our country. And these police officers need to be in prison. So if you can comment on that, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think what we're seeing here is the Israelification of the American police force. These people are being paid, the police chiefs are being paid to take their people over to Israel. And when they get to Israel, they learn how to treat their own people, the people they're paid to protect, like Palestinians, which means they can brutalize us. There is a dehumanization that has gone on here that is unprecedented. I just don't remember this type of dehumanization. You can't have these big, brutal guys treating women like this, people who are half their weight, all these cops that have gotten fat on coffee and donuts now throwing their weight around, brutalizing people and treating them as if they're not human. Something's got to happen here. Somebody is going to have to call, the president of the university is going to have to call, establish a commission and look into why their campus police acted this way. Now, the state is also going to have to ask a question, but if the state is run by Mr. Abbott, who is a total pawn of the Israel lobby, it's not going to happen. And that is precisely the political crisis that we're facing right now. We have rights as Americans. Apparently, if the Jew doesn't like what you say, you have no rights as an American anymore. The First Amendment doesn't apply. They can use lawfare to destroy your life, and you have no protection. This has to stop. If it doesn't stop, it's going to get more and more violent. Okay? It's got to stop. Someone has to be honest. There's got to be someone, honest man, in some legislature somewhere or other who says, wait a minute, we were elected to represent the American people. We were not elected to represent the state of Israel. All dual citizens must be immediately purged from the government, and anybody who shows up wearing an Israeli military uniform will not be allowed into the chambers. Someone is going to have to take this step, because if it doesn't, that's the end of America.
But thank you for your answer, and I agree 100%. Something has to change. This is unacceptable. Unacceptable.
Right.
All right. Thank you, Thomas. Let's try one more. Sounds like Twitter is having some issues here. I don't know if it is a program or if it's our end with the internet lag, but let's go with one more here, and then we're just going to read off the chat. The chats have a bunch of good questions. So, Mike, we're going to let you go first. Go ahead, Mike. There, Mike.
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. So I want to ask you a question. When the demonstrators at Columbia prevent Jewish students and professors from going into the school, you think that's the way to demonstrate?
If you're asking me, no, I don't think they should be prevented from going into school.
That's what they're doing.
Do you think they should be able to brutalize, throw them on the ground and tase them? Is that the solution to this problem?
They will be arrested.
I don't think they should be arrested. You don't have to arrest people. You don't have to arrest people.
If you prevent the students and the professors from going into school because it's too dangerous, you will be arrested. That's against the law.
You don't have to prevent that. You don't have to arrest them to allow people to get into the classroom. It's that simple.
Yeah, you do. How else are you going to? Why do you think they're being arrested?
Because you're not allowed to criticize Israel. That's why. It's obvious.
You can criticize Israel all you want. You have a First Amendment right to do
no,
that.
No, you don't. No, I'm sorry.
But
you don't have a
right to prevent the students and the professors from going into the school. And that's what's happening. And once you do that, it's not advocacy. It's incitement. And it's against the law. And you will be arrested. It's that simple. You can't set up tents. You can't take over the university. Not in the United States. You will be arrested.
I know you'll be arrested, but setting up tents does not prevent people from going into the building. It doesn't do it.
Yeah, it does.
Well, you'll have
it
to.
It does, and it is.
Don't see it.
Columbia Sorry. University is now on, the rest of the semester has to go virtual.
Okay.
You want to protest? Do it lawfully.
No, you've got a rubber yardstick here about what's lawful protest. That's the whole point. It's not lawful to prevent the students from going into the school. But
you can't block arms and prevent Jewish students from walking around the campus. It's not lawful. In this country, you were arrested for that. Period. You want to have a lawful demonstration? Fine. This is not that.
No, the people in charge get to determine what's lawful here. That's the whole point.
It's very clear. The Constitution and the laws of the United States are very clear about what's free speech and what's incitement. There's no ambiguity in that regard.
Okay.
You have no right to prevent Jewish kids from going to school or the professors.
But you do have
you have
a right to dox Palestinian students.
Excuse me?
You do have a right. The Jewish students do have a right to dox Palestinian students and get them fired from their jobs.
None of that's happening. And if the roles were reversed, I'd support it the other way. If Palestinian kids were prevented from going into school by Jewish kids, the Jews should be arrested.
Okay. If you're saying this is at Columbia, I haven't been at Columbia. That was not the case at the other campuses. What about all the other campuses?
You see the same thing happen at the other campuses.
No, sorry. That's not true.
Violent atmospheres. They are attacking students and professors. It's all on video.
I know. I watched the videos too. And what you're saying is not true. Okay. Thanks for your comment.
Okay, thank you, Mike. Right, too many mics here. Let's go to the chat because our Twitter's a little bit iffy. It's about right time. That's how we usually do it. Okay, on Rumble, got a first question from USMC9, Dr. Jones. I heard Colonel McGregor today call Trump a clown, and he lost many votes for helping pushing through the $61 billion package for war. What's your take?
Yeah, he shouldn't have done it. He lost my vote. I think it's true. It was shameful. I don't know why he thinks he can make peace with the people who hate him, but apparently he does.
Okay. Where was it? There was another. From Christians Praying. Why do some claim the Jesuits are Masonic? Where did this conspiracy come from?
It's called Whig history. English propagandists came up with this thing. It's also called the Black Legend. And one of the classic examples of this was Voltaire. Obviously, Voltaire was a Frenchman, but he went to England. And he tried to meet with Alexander Pope, the great poet. And Pope said it was pretty clear that he was a spy. He was working for British intelligence. So when he went back to France, he wrote essays praising England. But the worst thing he did was write this thing called Candide, which was supposed to be a satire about the Jesuits and the noble efforts of the Jesuits in Paraguay. Were simply slandered. He slandered those people who were absolutely heroic figures, who had a paradigm for bringing basically people who had lived as hunter-gatherers into the modern world. Within a generation, the Guarani, one of the tribes that had been helped by the Jesuits, wrote their grammar and wrote their dictionary. Were making musical instruments. They created crops like, yerba mate, a new drink that was supplanted alcohol, and they didn't have to get drunk all the time. The Jesuits were absolutely noble figures throughout this period in the Americas. And the man who slandered them was Voltaire, who was paid to do this as a British agent. So that's where the stories come from.
All right, there's the answer there. From a George Clapton on Telegram, do the Jews do what they do to oppose Logos, or do they do what they do as a survival strategy? Or does it end up being much the same thing?
No, this is a terrible survival strategy. You're getting everybody mad at you. And so when everybody gets mad at the Jews, they say, oh, it's anti-Semitism. It's your fault. They are classic the classic example of the group that is constantly projecting their faults onto other people and blaming people for what they're doing. The Poles have that phrase that, you know, the Jew cries out in pain as he strikes you. That's exactly what's happening now. The man responsible for this all these demonstrations is Benjamin Netanyahu. And the abominable way he behaved in Gaza. And he comes on and he blames those students. He's calling them Nazis. It's going to be, you know, the ovens again, you know, Mike Johnson and putting babies in ovens. No, you're the one responsible. One man in this world who's responsible for the campus demonstrations is Benjamin Netanyahu and his abominable genocidal behavior in Gaza. So let's be honest about what's going on here.
From a Christy Ripperger, when is everyone going to recognize that Trump betrayed the American people and that he's the other side of the same coin to divide the American people? This keeps us divided.
Well, apparently Colonel McGregor recognized it. So Trump is doing a good job of blowing up his own campaign. This is... The candidates seem to be good at this thing. Robert Kennedy did the same thing for the same reason.
Kind of a double question here from two people on Cozy that I'm merging. Was the last guy Jewish and the last caller, was the last guy a proof that talking to Jews is impossible?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't pick the calls. I don't know what his name was. So it sounded that way to me. So it's very difficult to talk to people. It's like, it was like I spent episode after episode trying to talk to Charles Moskowitz, and you can't talk to him. And so the last time around, he said, well, let's debate Gaza. I said, Charles, I'm not going to debate genocide. It's not a debatable topic. It's not like gas deregulation. So the events have conspired to push these people into a point where you can't talk to them. That's the problem. This is one of the consequences of the rebellion against Logos, which took place at the foot of the cross, and it's persisted with them to this day. You can't talk, they can't talk, they can't defend their position, and so they just want to throw you in jail because they don't know how to respond to what you're saying.
Okay, where was it? Okay, from Hate for the Left. So what is to be done? Jews are about to make it illegal to question them. How do we fight this?
By doing what we're doing. At a certain point, this is, if at a certain point there are too many people to arrest, the law will collapse simply on that guard because of that. There are just too many people. Public opinion is heading in the opposite direction. There are people who say the public opinion is the greatest force in history. Well, the people, Jews primarily, Eddie Bernays, Walter Lippmann, people like that, learned how to manipulate public opinion through the mass media. And that has been one of the great tragedies of the internet. But it's not working. It will not work forever. It's American to think that it won't work. Abraham Lincoln said you can fool some of the people all the time and all the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. And that's the situation we're in right now. You can't, no matter what the spin machine they have, no matter how much they pay to dominate the mainstream media, you can't cover up the fact that they're committing crimes in Gaza. It's that simple. No one can organize, no one person could organize all of these protests all over campus, all at the same time. It's the force of events, it's behavior, it's Benjamin Netanyahu who is the main organizer of these protests.
From a user on Cozy, Dr. Jones, do you believe Jewish students and faculty are going to be persecuted to the full extent of the law, or prosecuted, that is?
No, I don't. I think there's a double standard right now in our legal system that has to be corrected, because this group has Jewish privilege and they are above the law. The laws, what the last gentleman said, the laws governing free speech are not the same. It's not the same. There are certain privileged groups. I mean, Black Lives Matter was clearly a privileged group that was basically above the law. I think it's because of Jewish pressure. I think they were given that privilege by the Jews, but they clearly were above the law and could do whatever they wanted with impunity. The opposite side of the coin is anyone who takes up the Palestinian cause does not have free speech. This is not rule of law. This is bias. This is prejudice, and it needs to end. It needs to end. It needs to end.
From JMREY on Rumble, if we cannot vote our way out of this, do we need a Catholic monarchy?
No, Catholic, there is, you can't, there will never be a Catholic monarchy in the United States of America because it's antithetical to what we believe as Americans. We do not believe in monarchy. The whole country was created as a rebellion against the British monarchy. When Tom Paine was asked about America, he said, in America, the law is king. We have to have a realistic understanding of who we are as Americans. And I'm talking about Catholic Americans who have been persecuted throughout history because this was a Protestant country. And the only identity Protestants really had was anti-Catholicism. It was a negative identity. And over the period of time, it's basically, as I said before, it has evaporated. That's the premise of Immanuel Tote's book. It has evaporated. And now we're seeing that you're either a Jew or you're a Catholic. And I think that's precisely the decision that faced Candace Owens. She was working for a Jewish operation and she realized she couldn't go along with it. And so she became a Catholic. The middle point is being eliminated. And so it's coming down to either, you know, crucify him or Christ is king, and there are no other options left.
From Colin Neighbors on Rumble, has Dr. Jones noticed that there seems to be a Jewish hand behind the university protests? A Jewish Voice for Peace is organizing them, and Lawyers Guild is helping out.
Yeah, I think that we're talking about Jews. I mean, Jews are human beings like everyone else, and God created them with a conscience. And I think that what you have with the Talmud or with Marxism or whatever it is, you know, critical race theory, you have a software that overrides the basic operating system and turns them into enemies of Logos. But that doesn't change their human nature. I just did an article based on that, the Jew, Jonathan Glazer, who did that Holocaust movie called The Zone of Interest. And he stood up at the Academy Awards, won an Academy Award for, if you do a Holocaust movie, you're automatically going to win an Academy Award, it seems. But he stood up there and he said, we refute our Jewishness. That was the term that he said. Interesting. It was a kind of incoherent syntax, but this is an interesting idea. And I tried to explain, it's going to be in the next issue of Culture Wars. So I wish you would read it. But I talked about basically a taxonomy of Jews. You know, what is the typical Jew? The Jew is someone who subverts every narrative. That's what the Jew does. That's part of his identity is fighting Logos. And so the classic Jew is Sigmund Freud, who subverts the dominant narrative in Austria, which is Catholicism. Okay. And it's really just sexual. Every man desires to sleep with his mother and sister. And that's called the Oedipus complex. And that's the heart of Freudianism. And you think, well, okay, never heard about that. Wait a minute. That doesn't sound right to me. And what it turns out is Sigmund Freud subverted every narrative but his own, which was the fact that he had incest with his sister-in-law, and that was the source of the Oedipus complex. So at that point, you move from the typical Jew to the real Jew, and the real Jew subverts every narrative, including his own. Okay, and you could have Jacques Derrida as an example, subverts every narrative. But you could also have, I think, Jonathan Glazer, who's willing to say, even my narrative is wrong. You know, I refute my Jewishness. And then you have the final step, which is the super Jew, who takes that subversion to its ultimate conclusion and subverts himself Now, there are two options now to subvert yourself. There is the Zionist option. What is the conclusion of the Zionist option? It is Masada. This is when the Jews were, when the Romans, they rose up against the Romans. The Romans came in and destroyed the temple. The legions started marching toward them, and they all went up to the top of this hill called Masada, and they killed themselves. Okay? That is the logical outcome of Zionism. And it's going to happen if they don't change their ways. But there's another way. There's a better way to annihilate the Jew, and that is called baptism. Baptism is the annihilation of the hatred of Logos that is the Jewish identity. And so I mentioned in the article a man who epitomizes the whole gamut to me, Paul Eisen from England. Paul Eisen began as a Jew, you know, subverting narratives. He was, conscience moved him to take on the plight of the Palestinians. He did this before any campus demonstrations. Years and years and years ago, he became head of the Deir Yassin committee. Deir Yassin was a village that was ethnically cleansed by Jewish terrorists, by people like the Stern Gang, Menachem Begin, all those Jewish terrorists who ended up becoming premiers of Israel. And it was erased from the face of the earth, and they built the Holocaust Museum. Not, what is it called? Yad Vashem, the Holocaust Museum, built that on its place. And it would have remained completely ignored except for the Deir Yassin Committee and except for the heroic efforts of Paul Eisen, who took a lot of grief for it. And now Paul suddenly realized that Jewishness is the problem. This rejection of Logos, the killing of Christ and the subsequent rejection of Logos that became Jewish identity, has caused untold suffering throughout human history. And when he realized that, he took the final step of self-annihilation, which was baptism, which turns out is the opening the door to eternal life. That's the paradox here. And if you want the classic text, read St. John, where he talks about, unless the grain of wheat fall to the ground and die, it remains but a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it gives birth to all this new life. That's exactly the situation that the Jews are facing right now. Out Logos, out Nihil. It used to be the saying was, out Kaiser, out Nihil. Either I'm going to become the emperor or I'm going to go down fighting. Okay? It's literal now, because the Nihil that we're talking about is the nihilism of Nietzsche, and it's the nihilism of Jacques Derrida, who was the main Jewish promoter of Nietzsche. And it's the nihilism that behind this racist, genocidal cult in Israel right now. And the Jews are faced with an existential decision right now. It's existential, has to do with their existence. Are they going to commit suicide a la Masada, or are they going to take the step toward eternal life, annihilate the annihilator, and become a promoter of Logos by getting baptized and joining the body of Christ that they were supposed to join way back when Jesus Christ arrived on this earth? That's the fundamental decision they're faced with right now. Read it in detail in the next issue of Culture Wars.
All right, Dick Jones, about 6 o'clock. One or two more here.
One more question.
All right. Good question here from Kid Cuisine Detractor. Dr. Jones, do you think there will be a definitive turning point regarding this public opinion about the Jews, I assume? Are these protests it?
Well, whether they're it or not, they're a significant event. They're a significant event, which, as I said, that Abbott, Governor Abbott, in his, even those who set themselves up against you do but copy you in a perverse way. That's what St. Augustine said about people who hate God. Abbott is the one who set the stage for this by saying that this was an uprising against anti-Semitism. He brought that up. So there's going to be some type of definitive showdown now. There has to be. We can't go on this way. If we go on the way they are going to do, we're all going to end up in jail. Because anytime you say something a Jew doesn't like, you're going to go to jail if these people have their way. This will be the end of America. This is existential. This is a turning point. And we have to be able to insist as Americans that we have the protection of the Constitution of the United States of America. That's what we have instead of a king. We need lawyers to enforce it, but that's the only thing that we have. And we cannot allow foreign potentates like Netanyahu to tell the college presidents what to do. We can't have lackeys like Jonathan Greenblatt telling the college presidents what to do. We had that at Harvard. The Jewish billionaires came in and fired the president and took over Harvard, and now they can't manage it because their ideas don't work. They don't work. And all they do, whenever you capitulate to Jewish power, you create more chaos because this is anti-logos. Read the Jewish revolutionary spirit. Anyway, thank you. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, there we are, guys. Thanks again. For you guys who are new, who don't know, EMJ Live every Friday at 5 on all the platforms you're hearing right here. Make sure to subscribe to Culture Wars Magazine at culturewars.com. And all of Dr. Jones' books can be bought at fidelitypress.org. Telegram, Cozy, Gab, BitChute. Subscribe, follow, like the video. Thank you, Rumble. Rumble has been killing it with the numbers. You guys keep subbing. You guys keep watching. Cozy, you guys got to catch up to Rumble. I know you can do it. I have no announcements. Dr. Jones, final words.
Yeah, it's either Logos or Masada. This is the Jew. This is the existential choice facing the Jews right now. Let's pray that they make the right decision.
All right. See you guys next week. God bless.